Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Okay, a lot of drama today. In the last few hours, the United States European Command has confirmed the seizure of a Russian-flagged oil tanker linked to Venezuela after a week-long pursuit at sea. The vessel has been renamed the Marinera and was sailing under a Russian flag as it fled the US pursuit in the Atlantic. It comes as a second oil tanker, which the USA is stateless, was also seized, this time in the Caribbean. Reacting to the seizure on X, Pete Hegseth, the US Secretary of War, said the blockade of sanctioned and illicit Venezuelan oil remains in full effect anywhere in the world. For more on this now, I'm joined by Scott Lucas, Professor of US and International Politics at UCD's Clinton Institute, and also by Chris Reynolds, former head of the Irish Coast Guard and head of the EU's counter-piracy mission to Somalia. Scott, if I can go to you first. As I was saying, there's a lot happening this afternoon. Right now, we are waiting on the White House Press Secretary, Karoline Leavitt, holding her news briefing at 4 p.m. A lot of interest in that today, obviously. Reports say that the military forces have now left that vessel, that Russian shadow vessel, and it is now in possession of the Coast Guard. The UK Ministry of Defence has also just confirmed that British troops provided support for that seizure operation. Scott, if you can take a breath maybe and bring us up to date on what we know about the circumstances of that seizure and why the US moved in on it.
Yeah, well, Katie, some essential context here is that this is part of the ongoing operation by the United States, which has gone on for several weeks, to put economic pressure on Venezuela by choking off its oil exports. This started before the kidnapping of Nicolas Maduro. In recent days. So today, in fact, there were the two vessels that were seized. Now, one vessel, which hasn't gotten the headlines, but is the one which is stateless off the coast of Venezuela. That's called the MT Sofia. The one that's grabbing the headlines is a vessel which was called the Bella One and was reflagged and called the Marinera. And why was it reflagged? Because Russia was trying to give some protection to Venezuela by putting this under a Russian flag and then saying it has indeed a Russian submarine and surface vessels that are monitoring the situation. Despite that, the United States moved in when the vessel was about 120 miles south of Iceland, so between Iceland and Scotland, to carry out this seizure. And as you noted, and has been confirmed in the last hour, they had support from the UK, from the Royal Air Force, to provide overflight support for the operation. We're not sure exactly where the vessel is at this moment, but its path indicates it may be towed into port or escorted into port in Scotland. And then I assume it will then be confiscated by the United States. Now, there's all sorts of questions, and I know you'll talk to Chris about this, about the legality of this operation, the grounds under which this vessel was seized. And there will be questions about the Russian response to this, because that is what is distinct here. This was not a stateless vessel. The Russians tried to protect Venezuela, and the U.S. has pushed back against them.
Well, let's talk about that response then, Scott. The Russian Transport Ministry has accused the U.S. of breaking the 1982 UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. It says that no state has the right to use force against ships properly registered in the jurisdictions of other states. That's a statement, but as you say, there was a submarine tracking with that ship, and there was no action from that submarine.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking at this from two different levels, I think from a practical level, the Russian response has been relatively limited and very cautious to this point. So that statement indicates a protest, which is, look, you can't take the vessel which is under the flag of another state, even though it's dubious that the Russians suddenly put it under their flag. You can't do that. And then you had another legislator, a pro-Kremlin legislator, who calls it an act of piracy. But no one's rattling sabers. No one's talking about retaliation right now with Russia. And I don't think they'll retaliate, because I think it would affect their position at a very critical point as there are talks trying to end their invasion of Ukraine. At another level, however, the Russians, and I hate to say this, but the Russians are raising a point that I think will be debated, both politically and legally. And that is, did you have the legal right to you know, the starting point of this was the vessel was seized because of U.S. sanctions. But if it was in international waters, does the U.S. have jurisdiction? And what is interesting is that the U.K. statement to justify their involvement has gone much, much farther. It says that this ship was involved in international terrorism. It was involved in giving aid to the Lebanese organization Hezbollah. In other words, throwing everything out there to justify the operation. It may not matter legally. Might does make right. But in terms of reactions of other countries beyond the U.S., beyond the U.K., beyond Ireland to this seizure, it will be interesting to see if they support it or if they criticize it.
What does it say about what is really behind this, though, that the U.S. would pursue a tanker like this, like across the Atlantic, in these circumstances?
This is regime coercion. If you put everything together from the last few weeks, so if you put together the assembly of that U.S. fleet with the aircraft carrier and 10 ships off the course of Venezuela, the CIA is bombing of ports in the country, the kidnapping of Nicolas Maduro, and the seizures of these ships, the United States, I don't think, is going to pursue regime change. I think they have backed off Donald Trump's statement on Saturday they're going to run Venezuela. What they're going to try to do is, with the Maduro government still in place, albeit without Maduro, is they're going to try to bend them to American will. We want you to let us into your oil industry. We want you to let us into your economy. We want you to cut or limit your relations with Russia, Iran, Cuba, et cetera. And if you don't do that, we're going to choke you off economically. We're going to, in effect, blockade you politically as well as literally on the seas.
Okay. Scott, I'll let you go. That's Scott Lucas there from UCD's Clinton Institute. I want to bring in Chris Reynolds, former head of the Irish Coast Guard. Chris, maybe you could give us a better insight into how an operation like this might play out. First of all, the ship itself, I mean, we've been looking at pictures of it for the last week now. It doesn't look like it's in the best of shape.
No, it's a fairly old tanker. And, you know, one of the questions you asked there is why would Russia get involved at all? Why would Russia let this ship onto its registry? Because Russia is what's called a grey flag, and it wouldn't want the ship of this standard from Guyana, which is a black flag registry, to come onto its registry without some other reason that may be political rather than anything else. So it is a pretty old vessel.
Sorry, Chris, but when you say grey flag and black flag, can you just explain to people what you mean?
Okay, there's three different types of registry in the world that's recognised. If you're a good registry like Ireland is, or the Red Ensign in the UK, you're on the white flag. It means if you go into a port, you won't be given a hard time. You'll be inspected and arrested, but not given a hard time. If you're a black flag, you mean you're off a bad registry who don't really care about standards about shipping, will just take the money for registry. And you can trade around Africa and around third world countries like Iran to Venezuela, and no one cares. And then in the middle, you have those who are trying to get to be on the white flag, and they're called grey flag. And Russia is one of those. So Russia is trying to bring up standards with shipping. And so why would it let a ship of this standard onto its registry? It doesn't make sense.
We saw footage, Chris, of a helicopter being landed on board that ship, yeah, and a US vessel approaching that tanker, yes, as well. Like, how complicated and complex an operation would this be in these kind of waters?
Probably more complicated than it should be. Just looking at what was available online, if the US Coast Guard has tracked it all the way across the Atlantic, that cutter can't board it. It's in ballast. So the size of the ship are too high to basically board it at sea. So it has to be done by a helicopter. Normally you get a Seahawk, like a maritime Black Hawk would do it. And if you look at the Sophia that was boarded today in the Caribbean, it's the Black Hawks, the Seahawks do that, as they did all the vessels off the Venezuela. This one was done by a small aircraft called a Little Bird, it's MH6. So that means that can't fly out from Iceland or from Scotland that far to do the boarding. So there's some other ships there that are kind of mother ships that have given a lift. And I think maybe the political sensitivities of doing the boarding directly from the UK or Iceland was probably a little over the top of what could be stomached. So they used a mothership to do the actual boarding. And it was a small MH6, so you'd have a team of about six SEALs on that, and they couldn't fast rope. They'd have to actually touch down their skids onto the tanker to offload their boarders. So a very complicated way of doing it, but it looks like it was done well.
We were saying, as you say, that there was these two operations carried out almost very close together in time today. The Homeland Security, US, the US head of Homeland Security, is saying today that the US Coast Guard conducted back-to-back boarding of two Ghost Fleet ships. If a naval force attempts to intercept or board a vessel in waters like this, are there other risks then to the vessel and to the crew?
Well, firstly, are they allowed to board it? So the straight answer is no. That vessel is entitled to the right of innocent passage, sorry, the right of free passage on the high seas. The only reason the U.S. could board it, legally speaking, international law, because the U.S. hasn't ratified the convention that was mentioned earlier on. It doesn't recognize it. But you can board it if you think it's involved in piracy, if you think it's involved in human trafficking or terrorism. And the other reason you can board it is if you think that it's flying an illegal flag. In other words, the flag isn't real and they need to inspect the vessel to board it. So they're the only reasons you can actually do the boarding in the first place. And the risk, of course, when you board is it could be a resisted boarding. You are going on board a tanker with weapons, and weapons on a tanker are not exactly what you want to have on a tanker. So I would imagine they're all reduced velocity weapons anyway, but if it was resisted, you then have firearms going off around a tanker. Now, the tanker is empty, but they still have gas in the tanks. They might probably have vented it very well, but it is a high-risk operation. Not only that, but obviously you could have a ditching of a helicopter or a helicopter accidentally having a hard landing on board. A lot of things could go very wrong.
Yeah, I just see coming in on the wires now. Moscow is now demanding the US allow swift return of the seized tanker's Russian crew. So the crew are in some kind of captivity then in those circumstances, are they?
Yeah, shipping is very complicated. You have the flag, and the flag is kind of the ship is the property of Russia. You're on Russian soil. When you're on a Russian flagship, you're effectively on Russian soil. So the crew on board are entitled to the protection of the Russian government because they are basically standing on Russian soil when they're being arrested. The people who chartered the vessel and the owners of the vessel, they don't have the same rights in a way. But that ship is technically Russian territory. And America has just gone on board Russian territory and detained a Russian flagged vessel, this is very serious.
Where do you think they're taking it?
I heard your reporter saying Scotland. I would suggest they'll probably turn around, take it to the States. Again, the politics of this are very, very complicated, and it'll be much simpler just to turn her around and take her back to the States than to take her into European port.
Okay, well, as I say, we'll all be watching that. Chris Reynolds, for now, many thanks for that. And earlier, Scott Lewis from UCD.